over the past few days, we've been debating the issue of tourism bosses planning to spend close to R1 billion to get our country's name emblazoned on the shirts of an English Premier League team, Tottenham Hotspur. When the news first broke, there was a wave of opposition that slammed it as a bad idea, a waste of money, considering South Africa's tough economic times, but also whether the money could be better spent. Since then, there have been opinionistas, there have been people in marketing and tourism who say, well, there may be merit to that. There have also been people on the other side of the fence saying, no, it's a completely bad idea. But besides that, South Africans have a healthy skepticism of our government. We have this prudent concern over corruption, and we have this knee-jerk reaction to whenever there is a plan put on the table, we don't necessarily listen to the plan, we listen to who is saying it, and then we simply just shoot it out of the water. Is that healthy for a South Africa? Is that healthy to have this knee-jerk skepticism of a government listening to who's saying it and not what is being said? William Choke is the deputy editor of Africa Is a Country, also a writer. He put out a piece saying that essentially all valid are concerns over issues of incompetence, money that is ill-spent or misspent, and also thoughts over how money is simply just stolen. But he also says, but is this healthy? William Shoki joins me on the line. I'm not getting into your personal thoughts on whether this deal is valid or not. Let's go straight to the nub. South Africans over the last few years, almost 30 years, has grown accustomed to simply preempting a bad turn of events whenever there is some sort of governmental plan put on the table. Do we listen to what is being tabled before us, or do we listen to who is tabling that message, William?
Morning, Lester, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you for having me on. I think you're absolutely spot on. I think increasingly the way South Africans relate to the state is we are overly preoccupied with the specific functionaries who present a policy or a position, and on that basis are prone to dismissing it offhand and failing to engage it on its merits. And this is not to say that this is unjustified. It's absolutely justified. Over the last 30 years, the inability of the South African government to be a reliable service provider to the majority of South Africans, failing to realize some of our key developmental goals, such as eradicating poverty, has unsurprisingly resulted in a cycle of diminishing expectations where people not only mistrust the government and its intentions, but even if it had the best of intentions, mistrust whether or not it'll be able to deliver. But as much as this is an understandable posture for the majority of South Africans to hold, the worry I express in the piece is, especially at this juncture, when we are eyeing the future of this country and there's a lot of work to be done to get it on course, we need to be able to relate more healthily and relate in a way that is open to all sorts of initiatives that can get us back on track. Mm.
I refer to another example. A couple of weeks ago, the ANC's NEC putting out a statement, they will agree to a state of disaster to get Eskom back on track, to get enough energy on the grid so that we can have, not eradicate load shedding, but an easing of load shedding. Immediately, there were negative sentiments because the ANC wants a state of disaster and there's going to be stealing. But we forget the Democratic Alliance has been for the last while, November at the earliest, I can recall, said South Africa needs a state of disaster to get Eskom back on track. Very little said about that, but because the ANC said it, well, then it must be a bad idea.
Exactly, and I think this is the danger, is that what this could mean is that our party political system just ends up becoming polarized across party political lines, and that in national debates, the issues at hand get completely obscured and are just thrown across as a political football. So depending on who's saying what, that's how one determines their opposition or endorsement of a policy rather than engaging on good terms. Because exactly as you've just pointed out, what is going to eventually become the case is already the case, is we lose our memory of what proposals and policies have been tabled. And when it's someone we don't like, then we reject it out of hand. And, you know, if other political parties like the Democratic Alliance or whomever else in the opposition have ambitions for being in power, then they have to try and hope for the public to be open and receptive to the ideas that they present as well. So we need to think about the state not only as the government, which happens to be in power now, but the state as the South African institution, which has important objectives to realize for the population, not only within a given presidency, but for the long term as well.
But if tentacles of the governing party have wide reaches, even into state entities that should largely be insulated from the day-to-day of South African politics, if there's already a case in the High Court regarding the ANC's policy of CADA deployment, then are our what is supposed to be insulated state agencies, that they do get, you know, muddied in by the day-to-day politics of South African life?
No, of course they do. But I think the argument is that state institutions, regardless of what policies one institutes to try and insulate it from party politics, are going to land up becoming political, because the question of what those institutions are for, what they should be directed towards, are political questions. I think the important thing in South Africa now is to say those institutions must be democratized. They must not only reflect the narrow interests of party functionaries and deployees, but they must reflect the interests of the South African people. They must be democratically decided, and the people that occupy those positions must be accountable to the South African public. Now, that is still political, but it's widening the ambit of what political means. And it's to say that in any society, the institutions that are crafted to serve the people must reflect what the people want, the will of the people in the first place. That is how democracy works. And so policies, you know, if you overturn CADA deployment, for example, I think that's a step in the right direction, but there's still more work to be done to make those institutions directly responsive and accountable to the people on the ground.
I'm going to quote just finally, William, here, something that you wrote in Africa as a Country. Ultimately, what the backlash is primarily expressive of is a hardening anti-state posture in middle-class sentiment. The government simply cannot do anything right, cannot try anything. It must simply wither away. This is an outlook as sterile as it is unproductive. I would argue that's not just a middle class sentiment. You've seen many working class, poor South Africans say, we don't trust this government. But it's because we are proven right every time, William, isn't it? When there was a state of disaster called for COVID-19, we screamed, oh, watch the money, it's going to be stolen. And we were proven right. Is this a problem for us, or is this a problem for the people in power? Who is lacking legitimacy? I think South Africans are very much legitimate in saying we simply don't trust you.
Yeah, absolutely. They're absolutely and completely legitimate. I think the caution is to say that in as much as we might call into question the legitimacy of the government in power now, we should not go so far as to discredit the idea of the state altogether, because I think particularly for middle class South Africans, what is increasingly becoming the case is people, rather than trusting the state, say, okay, I'll do it myself. If I'm not going to get reliable electricity from the government, I'll go off the grid. If I'm not going to get reliable water, I'll go off the grid. If I can't put my children in state schools, I'll put them in private schools. And that's understandable. But I think what that undermines is the idea of the state in the first place as this institution that is meant to provide for the majority of the South African people. Although working class people might have this sentiment as well, I think they're in a position where the dependence on the state is still very much alive, but the disappointment is constant. Whereas middle class South Africans are in a position where they can go to the extent of opting out. It incurs a tremendous financial burden upon them, but it is possible. And I think rather than saying what we need to see is a reduction in the size of the state, we need to see less government, and we need to see increased privatization and so on and so forth, we need to say, no, let's fight for a state that can deliver. Let's fight for a state that is accountable. Let's fight for a state that is responsive and that provides for all South Africans, regardless of class position.
William Shoki, Deputy Editor at Africa Is a Country. Really appreciate your time. Your thoughts, 021-446-0567.